RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show live with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. By the way, as we only do 3 hours on the show, 9:40 will be Rank'em. So set your clocks and set your DVRs and your whatever else you can set. Set your hourglass, right? You can set everything, but 9:40 we'll do Rank'em tonight. So we do it an hour earlier. So at JMSH316 at the D. Lewis for real. This should I look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So this was put out by Sunday Night Football on NBC. They have the highest earning players in Atlanta Falcons team history. Day-Day, this should be pretty obvious, but who do you think the highest earning player is in Falcons history?
It's got to be Maddie, right?
Yeah. By a drastic amount.
Second, let me try to guess who second would be. Second, Julio?
Yes. Who's okay. Third?
Ooh, third.
He's on the roster now.
Grady.
Nope.
No? Oh, Chris. Nope. I mean, the lineman, right? I'm drawing a blank. I'm pulling a chuckle.
Not Lindstrom.
No, it's not Lindstrom?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Jake.
Jake Matthews.
Yeah, okay.
Matt Ryan made $267 million with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, this is the crazy part. Julio was second. He made $125.3 million. Matt made more than now, again, quarterback, draft a different year. I know all of that. But it's staggering to think about. Matt made $267, and Julio is second at $125.3. Not even half of
that's
career
crazy
earnings. Yeah. Jake Matthews is third, $112.1 million. That's a lot of bread.
That is.
Grady is fourth, $89.9 million. And then fifth all time, Roddy White at $65
million. Okay.
Now, Mike signed two $100 million contracts, did he not? Now, I know he had to give some money back for the second contract because of the prison,
right,
and Arthur sued him and all that kind of
yeah
stuff. But I'm surprised Mike is not on that list.
So did they stop at five?
Yes.
Okay. So I wonder if he's at six.
Well, Mike has got to have made more than $65 million. Did he not? Well, I guess one of those $100 million contracts was with the Eagles. But
right,
I would have thought Mike would have been top five. Quarterback, that was when he came out. Obviously, he was the number one overall pick. right? Coming out of college, they still didn't have the all guaranteed money or what have you for rookie quarterbacks and stuff like that. But I would have thought that Mike would have been one of the five highest paid guys of all time, but I guess that he's not. That kind of surprises me that Mike didn't make more than $65 million when he was in the NFL with the Falcons. I know he made more than that overall because of the contract that he signed with the Eagles, but he was like the first player to sign two $100 million contracts, one with the Falcons, one with the Eagles. I just would have thought that he had made more when all was said and done, but anyway. So it was good news as far as Clark Phillips goes that Josh Kendall was reporting from The Athletic that he is basically day-to-day. So these injuries look worse at times than what they really are, and obviously there's probably an abundance of caution being taken, especially with a guy like Clark Phillips, who's a rookie, and he's got his whole season in front of him. You don't want to put him in any kind of harm's way if you don't have to. Obviously, it will probably be that he will not play unless there's just some kind of ridiculous miracle, you know, gene therapy or something like that. But so Clark Phillips out, Jeff Okuda's probably going to be out as well. So again, though, both of those guys in a lot of ways avoided some catastrophe, right? I mean, the fact that both of them are only kind of listed day to day, that's a win for both of those guys. Now it's going to fall on the D. Alfords and the Cornell Armstrongs and the Mike Hughes and guys like that to step up and, you know, be that second corner. Now, we do anticipate the fact that Okuda is probably going to be back in the early part of the regular season. So if you're not going to have him for the preseason, I wonder how much, you know, Clark Phillips is going to actually play in the preseason as well. But at least it's good news as far as it's only a day-to-day situation with Clark Phillips. Matt Schaub is joining the Atlanta Falcons as an analyst for them. So I don't know exactly what his specific role is going to be, but I like the fact of having Matt, both Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub, back in the fold, two former quarterbacks for the Falcons, but says he's going to be a football analyst. The two sides agreed to the deal on August 2nd, and Schaub has been present at training camp in the days since. He's 42 years old, and I don't know what it means to be an analyst, but I like Matt Schaub. I like having him around. You know, he's a good old veteran. Obviously been through, you know, all kinds of different things in his NFL career. Was the backup, you know, for Mike Vick, and then signed that big contract with the Texans and took over for a few years. Was a Pro Bowler in one of his years with the Texans and then kind of just bounced around the league. And he was obviously a guy that, you know, made a lot of money to be a backup quarterback, right? I mean, he made good money in his career by being a backup quarterback. So I'm glad to see Matt Ryan and Matt Schaub getting back into the mix with everything. And I don't know what their, like I said, I don't know what their role is going to be. All it said was he's going to be an analyst. So I don't know what that means, but we'll see what happens. All right, so the Falcons released their first depth chart. Now, Data, here's the thing I thought was kind of funny. And again, I understand sort of the mentality of this, but they on offense, their depth chart on offense has 12 starters. Now, you know what's wrong with that?
Yeah, only 11 people.
Exactly.
Right.
So here's who they have listed as starter. Mac Collins and Drake London are the two wide receivers. Jake Matthews, Matt Hennessy, Drew Dahlman, Chris Lindstrom, Kayla McGarry. That's your offensive line, okay? Keith Smith is your fullback. Cordero Patterson is running back one. Algier is running back two. Bijan is running back three. But what I thought, and Desmond's obviously the starter quarterback, but what I thought was interesting is the tight end position, because they list two tight ends.
Yeah, I saw that.
They have Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith listed as starting tight ends. Now, that's interesting because that means either one of those tight ends doesn't start, or Keith Smith doesn't start. Now, Keith Smith, to be fair, is mostly a special teams guy at this point. He only played about 25% of the snaps for the team last year. And his snap count was pretty close in the first 2 years of Arthur Smith's regime, that they were both about 25% of the snaps. So that's why I asked Mike is, you know, how much does he factor in now with Robinson, Patterson, Algier? Like, how much of a factor is he going to be? I'm not talking about special teams. I'm talking about his percentage of plays on offense. Because if you're going to have multiple wide receivers and multiple tight ends and all this, that, and the other, you're not going to have a fullback. Even if you're going to run the football, you're not going to have a fullback. So I hope that it doesn't become, hey, when the fullback's in, we run the football. I mean, unless you're telling me it's, you know, first and goal from the 1.5 yard line, then we can put a guy like that in. But again, Parker Hesse and some of those guys also filled that role last year for the team. Now, on the defensive side, the part that I think was interesting is obviously Ebiketie on one side as the outside linebacker. Bud Dupree, Lorenzo Carter are your starter and backup in there. And we just talked about this near the top of the show, is who's going to ultimately shake out. Because they have three down linemen, Grady, Onyemata, Calais Campbell listed, and then Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson as your inside backers. But obviously, Michael Walker is going to play a lot on this defense. He can cover. He's a ball hawk. I mean, he goes after. I mean, again, we talked about the idea that he had 6 pass defended last year as a linebacker. That's a really good number. So I will be curious to see how much snap count that Michael Walker ends up in the first part of the regular season. Because, like we talked about last night, there isn't that high-volume tackling guy. We hope it's going to be Troy Anderson and maybe Michael Walker, but we don't have that Devondre Campbell, Deion Jones, Foye Oluokun. We don't have one of those guys. Like, we don't have a guy that we automatically look at and say, well, that guy's good for 150 to 180 tackles. We don't have those kinds of players now, especially at our linebacker position. We don't have, because it's so unproven, right? Even Caden Ellis is a guy who's still unproven. He's had one good year, and he got to play a lot because of injuries, but we still don't know the book on Caden Ellis. Is he the guy that we saw in the first 3 years of his career, or is he the guy that was in the played last year? So that's the thing. So I think that those couple of things are interesting. Jalen Hawkins is also the backup safety to Jesse Bates. No real surprise there, but I wonder Hawkins-Grant, I mean, it feels like it's Grant's job right now, and he's kind of the leader in the clubhouse for that other starting safety position, but is there competition with Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant to start at safety? I think it's going to be Grant, but we'll see what kind of role Michael Hawkins or Jalen Hawkins has, because I do think that he's a good player, and I like to see Jalen Hawkins on the field a little bit more. All right, when we get back, Jason Longshore is going to join us coming up next, and we'll talk to Atlanta United. We'll talk about the women's national team, all things soccer with Jason Longshore. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're waiting for Atlanta United to get back into action as they will get things cranked back up here at the, I guess what, about 2 weeks from right now, August 20th. Is when they will be back in action. So I guess about 12 days, not quite 2 weeks, but almost 2 weeks. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our guy when we need any kind of soccer talk. We turn to our guy, Jason Longshore. He's the color analyst for all things Atlanta United. You can hear him on broadcast with Mike Connie, and he will be on the call again when we get to August 20th. And Jason is on Twitter, at Longshoe. And, Jason, good evening to you, as always, my friend.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So I want to ask you first a question about the women's national team. And, you know, obviously there's been lots of angst from media, fans, just on all sides of this. And this is what I said at the very beginning of the show, that winning cures everything. And I think that a lot of this angst has gotten riled up because they weren't successful. You know, a lot of things can go away when you start winning. How do you see this, you know, all of this kind of fallout from the women's national team and all of the sub-stories and subplots and sidebars and everything along with it?
Well, I think there's two sections of it. There's the section of people who were waiting for the team to not succeed, and then they are now giving soccer opinions about why they didn't succeed, and they don't know. They're not following it. They just don't like some of the individuals who are on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, whatever you want, that's fine. That's your prerogative. That's cool. From a soccer perspective, I think the biggest issue here is they didn't convert their chances in this tournament, and you don't have the margin of error to get away with that anymore because the level of competition has improved so, so much. This was a tougher draw than people gave it credit for. I think most people and the broadcasters on Fox were right there with everybody. You look at the all-time record against Portugal and say, oh, well, this is an easy group. You've got two first-time teams in the tournament in this group, and they'll win both of those games easy, and whatever happens with the Dutch, okay, that was the final last time, that's fine. Portugal's not the same team that they used to be, and that's really, honestly, what has happened in this tournament. Nigeria is not the same team they used to be. They came to a penalty shootout with England, almost knocked England out, who had become the favorite after the U.S. were eliminated. Germany was a favorite to advance. They did not get out of the group. Canada won the gold medal last time at the Olympics. They didn't get out of the group. It's difficult these days. So it's really getting down to a lot of the conversations we have just about the game in general. You know, you have to create chances. You have to convert chances. And the U.S. doesn't have that giant talent gap anymore on the women's side to be wasteful with their chances and still advance. They just can't do that anymore. Sweden took care of business in the shootout.
So just as a follow-up to that, so it's not, it doesn't sound like it's a matter of, you know, allocating resources or something like that. It's just, you know, when you get on the field, you got to play better. You know, that you can't just, it sounds like basically what you're saying is we can't in America now just overwhelm teams with our talent and teams are just going to, you know, go by the wayside. Now we have to dig down deep and play and we've got to, you know, we've got to take advantage of, you know, our opportunities. And it doesn't sound like it's a, you know, like I said, a you know, thing of allocating resources or something kind of more bigger picture than all that. It sounds like it's just a matter of we can't overwhelm just on talent alone anymore.
You definitely can't. You can't overwhelm on talent anymore. It's just not going to happen against the best 20 teams in the world anymore. And honestly, it might be deeper than that. I mean, this tournament, I think what you've seen when you get into underdogs winning games and you compare it to the NCAA basketball tournament, you're seeing more upsets in this tournament according to the odds than you see in most tournaments of any sport, because I don't think the odds makers, the FIFA rankings, all those things, they can't keep up with how fast some of these teams have developed. And you talk about resources, it's interesting. I think that's what's changed it for a lot of countries around the world. Portugal's a prime example. They've actually invested in developing better women soccer players. There's pathways to being professional players. And if you want to get deep into that conversation in terms of how the U.S. avoids getting eliminated from a World Cup, I mean, first off, it happens. We see it on the men's game all the time. You have a few great teams around the world, and sometimes they just literally don't get it done when the time calls for it in the tournament. That's what happens. But on the women's side, if you want to try to eliminate having these situations happen, or at least make it harder for it to happen on the U.S. side, you're going to have to start seeing more players develop in a professional manner as opposed to the college route. And the college route has been really what put the U.S. on the map, because you had Title IX. So you've had investment in women's soccer that, even if it's in college, you didn't have that in many countries in the world, period. So you had good, talented players. Well, the women's college game is not ideally set up to develop the best soccer players. It's set up to develop the best athletes who play soccer, because you're playing three games a week, two games a week on a regular basis. It's 20 plus games crammed into 12 weeks or so. You can't train. You can't work on tactics in an in-depth way. You can't develop players who can read a situation in the game and solve the problem that it calls for. You can develop fit athletes. You can develop players that can exploit pace, can exploit power. These are the things you can develop in the college game. The professional game, when you have a team for 9 months, you can work on tactics. You can work on plan A's and plan B's and really get into that stuff. And the U.S. development model is not set up that way. So that gap that the U.S. used to have, it's gone, because you have the Portuguese league developing. You have the Italian league developing. The Women's Super League in England is a very good league. The gap's gone. So the U.S. has to really, you know, figure out, can resources that have been great in this country for developing female soccer players, can those be not exactly reallocated, because the college game isn't going to give up money to the pro game, but can the professional game continue to grow to where 18-year-olds say, you know what, I'm going to turn pro, and that's going to make me a better player in the long run, and I'm going to get paid enough to make it worthwhile rather than going to college and playing there and getting my degree and chasing it that way.
Jason Longshore, color analyst for All Things Atlanta United, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So I believe it's 10 matches left in league competition. And
correct.
I think it's 5 home, 5 on the road. So what's going to be the key with this 10-match sprint? Because, again, I know the season's still got months to it, but, again, this will go pretty quickly when you come down to this last 10 matches. What's going to be the key moving forward in this last group?
For Atlanta United, it's going to be avoiding poor goals being given up. You know, it's almost the flip side from the conversation we just had about finishing chances. Atlanta's had plenty of chances. They've finished plenty of chances. They're going to score a good number of goals. They're going to score enough goals to win games. But where Atlanta United hasn't won games or hasn't gotten the draw in games, it's because they've given up some bad goals. And that's got to get solved in these 10 games, because you're at that point where that whole season of developing a style and a way of playing, it's all there. And it's looked good for most of this season, honestly. The goals that have been given up are not because of the identity or the style or the things worked on the training ground. They've been given up because of individual mistakes. And you have to solve that. And if it means having an extra defender to try to be able to fix some of those mistakes, if it's changes in personnel on the defensive side, that's what you have to do to just get through results. Because 10 games left, it's not about developing a style anymore. It's about getting results to get as high of a seed in the Eastern Conference that you can.
You know, and you look at the schedule, Jason. I mean, it's a couple of matches with Cincinnati, who's the best team in the East, Philadelphia, Nashville. I mean, look, even Miami, even though they're the worst team in MLS, we saw that guy in what he did, and it was a man amongst boys. So, again, the schedule is not going to be very easy. You know, how important does your home record become in this? Because, again, it's 5-5, but, boy, if you don't find a way to get your 3 points at home, you know, I don't know how many wins there's going to be, 3-point wins, you know, coming on the road. And, you know, obviously it's just, you know, you're playing some of the best competition in the Eastern Conference.
Your home games are critical. You know, you'd love to win all 5. That's not easy to do, especially against the teams that you're going to be seeing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And where you don't get 3 points in those games, you have to go get them on the road somewhere. And that's not going to be easy with the schedule ahead. It's just honestly down to that those defensive issues for me. I like the way that the team has upgraded, I think, some pieces of the roster. I like that you'll see Brooks Lennon and Caleb Wiley back on the back line as opposed to playing higher up the field as wingers. I think you're going to have a little more control of the midfield with Tristan Muyamba, who looked really good against Cruz Azul. Like, these are all important factors, and I like the tools that Gonzalo Pineda has to work with, but it just comes down to the individuals, and especially on that back line or that defensive midfield, not making the mistakes that they have. That's put this team in the situation they're in, where they really are going to need to win all 5 games at home and then steal some points on the road as well.
So how much credit and how much blame does Gonzalo Pineda deserve in this season so far?
You know, I think the blame part of it, and there's a lot of that going around, I don't think that is fair for what Gonzalo has worked with this season and dealt with. And again, when you get down to the way that the goals have been conceded, when you're talking about player mistakes, that's different than something structural. That's different than being too risky or not scoring enough goals because you're too defensive. Like, those are things that the coach, that's the way he wants his team to play, and players execute that. What you're seeing in a lot of these goals that have been conceded are just individual mistakes. And that's not on the manager for me. That's on the individual players. And it's not just one. It's not just one player that's made mistakes. It's been pretty much everybody who's played defensively this year has made mistakes at different times that have cost the team points. And that can't happen anymore. So I think the other thing, and Pineda made a really good point about this in my mind, you had some continuity going and you started to get some good results in the summer. And then to make the additions that you needed to make to get those fullbacks back to playing at fullback as opposed to playing on the wing, you needed to add some winger depth in the summer transfer window. You needed to add Muyamba, pieces to make the team better. But in that process, you had to move guys first and then play without your new additions first. And then you lost that continuity. And I think you saw some results dropped that were a direct cause of that. So this team, and it's got to be really quick with 10 games left, you got to get down to who are the 11 that give this team the best chance to win games, who are your impact subs defensively, who are your impact subs offensively, and you got to make that decision quickly and roll with it and try to keep that group on the field together as often as possible.
Last thing for you, Jason. Look, when Messi comes here, you know, obviously there's been rumors about whether he's going to play on turf or this, that, and the other. You know, and just bear with me for a second, but let me ask you if this is maybe a little bit extreme. I gather up the whole Atlanta United squad on that turf because we know that they're not going to pull up the turf. But I gather up my whole team and go on Miami's side of the field when they're warming up and just I have beer cans and I'm drinking beer on the field. And I'm laying down doing snow angels on the field, right on the turf, just letting all of that stuff just fly up in the air, all those little rubber pebbles and different things like that, just doing snow angels on the turf while I'm drinking Coors Light. Is that maybe a little extreme as to what United should do, or could that potentially psych out Messi and the boys?
That would probably be the first time that Messi and his teammates have seen anything like that. It might psych him out.
Okay.
That would be a little different.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just me. I mean, that's the way I think. I mean, so, you know, I'm a little bit different, but I just, you know, again, I'm doing snow angels on the turf. I mean, that's a given.
I think if Messi or somebody directly connected to Messi had said something about the turf, I'd have more of an issue about it, but they haven't. It's just been this assumption that has been going around on the Bird app and other places. The issue with that game from Lionel Messi's perspective is he's going to be playing in La Paz, Bolivia a few days before in a World Cup qualifier for Argentina. I don't know if it's the Tuesday or the Wednesday before that Saturday game. He's going to be playing at severe altitude in Bolivia, one of the toughest places to play in the world, not because their team is the best, but because of that altitude. And he's going to turn around in less than a week and then come to Atlanta. That's going to be the issue. I don't think the turf is going to be the issue for him in that game. It's going to be, what does he have in the tank after having to survive playing in La Paz?
And do you know, by the way, too, that Atlanta is the highest elevated major city east of the Mississippi River?
I did not know that, actually.
Yes, it is. It's the highest elevated city, major city, east of the Mississippi. It's actually a very high altitude city, is Atlanta, believe it or not.
It won't help then, because coming from La Paz, then he'll be already acclimated to the altitude.
Well, again, just do snow angels on the field at the turf and just let that stuff fly. Jason Longshoe is on Twitter at Longshoe, and obviously he's our color analyst for all things Atlanta United. You can check him out on the matches with Mike Connie, and he joined me on the WaitFor.com hotline. Jason, as always, my friend, appreciate it. Start practicing your snow angels, and we'll talk again here soon.
I will be practicing. Thanks.
Thanks. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. I mean, there's a reason why Washington is Washington and the chefs are the chefs. We'll explain all that next. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Free Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be part of the show. Don't you agree with me, Day-Day, that Atlanta United should go on the field and do snow angels?
They should go on that field and do everything.
I would go out there. I would be that a-hole. So, anyway. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple minutes. Braves and Pirates right now. This game's been really wacky. 6-4, Pirates are up. They've homered four times in the game. Hold on. You mean to tell me that this Yanni Chirinos or whatever his name is, you mean to tell me that that's a better option than Michael Soroka in the starts that he's made? I'm a better option than Yanni Chirinos. He's given up 5 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, 4 homers. Tell me all of the big power hitters for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Day-Day. I'll wait. Who's all of these big power hitters for the Pittsburgh Pirates? I mean, they have a guy who's – McCutchen has hit 10 homers. Brian Reynolds has 14. Jack Sawinski has 21. And Carlos Santana has a dozen. They don't have another guy in their lineup that has double-digit home runs. 10, 12, 14, and a guy with 21. What do the Braves have? Like 4 guys who are already over 25 homers? And the league leader. And yet we're getting shut down by some guy, Max Kellerman, Mitch Keller, and Ryan Borucki. And this Yanni Chirinos, why are they pitching him? What kind of pictures of Goats and Brian Snitker does Yanni Chirinos have? Because that's the only thing it can be, is that he's got pictures of Brian Snitker with various farm animals. It has to be something like that. Because you mean to tell me, if you cut off Michael Soroka's arm and he had a bloody stump and had to lay down on the field and take his bloody stump and push the ball like he's playing pool to get it to home plate, that's still a better option than Yanni Chirinos. Cut his arm off and let him push the ball up the home plate, still a better option than Yanni Chirinos. If he has any feeling in a limb, it's a better option than Yanni Chirinos. Like, why even pitch this guy? Why? What exactly is he? You mean to tell me that Michael Soroka can't find his way into this rotation and that we're trotting out Yanni Chirinos? I don't even know what the guy's name is, but I'll pronounce it phonetically like that. Day-Day, you're a better option right now. It's ridiculous. He's not even giving you a chance to win the game. Because every time the Braves come back, they launch 2 more homers.
Yeah, went back to back.
Yeah. Like, every time the Braves battle back, here he goes again, giving up home runs. He stinks. What exactly has he done in his, I think he's made, 2 starts? What exactly has he done? Like I said, what pictures of farm animals does he have on the Braves management? The Tampa Bay Rays didn't even want him. Right? He was DFA'd by the Tampa Bay Rays. who have, you know, again, they're one of the best teams in the American League or in baseball. They can use all the help they can get, and they looked at him and said, we're good. We're good. We got better options. We're going to take one of our minor league pitchers. Where's their minor league club? Is it in Rancho Cucamonga? Maybe it's El Segundo. Maybe it's Jupiter, Florida, is where the Tampa Bay Rays AAA team is. Wherever it is, we're going to take one of our minor leaguers, cut his arm off, let him bleed out, and take his empty, bloody stump and push the ball up the home plate, because that's a better option than Yanni Chirinos. And yet Michael Soroka's lingering down, or what's the word? What's the word I want to say? It's not lounging around, but what's the word? Just kind of lingering down in Gwinnett. Just not able to get back up with the club. How are you going to solve anything down there? At what point does Michael Soroka, do we have to have a discussion about, okay, can Michael Soroka get back to form, or do we just need to release him, DFA him? At what point? It's crazy. But this guy's giving you no shot. And the Braves are bashing the ball around. Arcia's homered, right? Guys are bashing the ball all around. Your 7, 8, 9 hitters, 4 for 8. Four for eight. It's your bottom third. Actually, it's no. Here's your bottom third right now with the updated box score. 5 for 9. That's your 7, 8, 9 hitter, 5 for 9. You're getting contributions at the bottom of the order. Arcia's homered in the game. Yanni Chirinos, let's give up 3 more home runs. He stinks. They should DFA him. Anyway, all right, let's grab a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I had to laugh. So Ron Rivera, who's the head coach of the Commanders, said that some of his players expressed concern over new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy's intensity during practice. And you know what Bieniemy said? I'm not going to change my approach. Quote, I'm always going to be loud, always going to be vocal, always going to demand from my leaders. If I ain't doing my job, my arse gets fired. It's my job, my responsibility to make sure I'm getting our guys to do what I'm expecting to do. Wait a second. Lots of things about this, Day-Day. Wait a second. I thought Ron Rivera, the reason he was such a good coach is because he's fiery. And, you know, he played for the 86 Bears and that crazy bunch of guys. I thought that's what made him a good coach. And, Day-Day, correct me if I'm wrong. Where's Eric Bieniemy been? Has he been with the Browns for the last few years?
No.
Has he been with the Tennessee Titans the last few years?
No.
Has he been with the Carolina Panthers the last few years?
No, you're even.
Where exactly has he been?
I think Midwest, like Kansas City.
Oh, are they good?
Let's see. What, 2 Super Bowls?
Okay. You know what Eric Bieniemy should say to the players? Shut the F up and either listen or leave. How quickly could this be solved? Shut the F up. I'm coaching Pat Mahomes. You ain't Pat. In the words of, who was it? Who was the, when they said about Dan, who was the guy that ran for vice president against Dan Quayle, Michael Dukakis' running mate? Who was that guy from Texas? When the guy said, I knew Jack Kennedy, you're no Jack Kennedy, right? Guess what? I know Pat Mahomes, you ain't no Pat Mahomes. You're more like Pat McGroin. But I thought Ron Rivera was this fiery guy, and you know, he played for the 86 Bears, 85 Bears. That's why he's a good head coach. Man, I'm telling you, the NFL is a fascinating sport nowadays. Guys have negotiated all their practices away in lieu of money and everything else. Bieniemy went on to say, I want our guys to clearly understand we don't take anything for granted. Yeah, as in, shut the F up, I coached Pat Mahomes. You twit. I know Pat Mahomes. I've known Pat Mahomes. You ain't no Pat Mahomes, sir. You see me pull players and have discussions with them, and you're always on the same page. Again, maybe this is why he's not a head coach in the NFL. Because players are just
too hard.
Yeah,
he's too
like,
hard.
Like, yeah, you can't treat players like guys and hold them accountable, right? And that's the problem is he wants accountability and all this, that, and the other. Meanwhile, he's winning Super Bowls. And yes, I know Andy Reid was a big part of all of that. But again, you guys can't have it both ways. You can't ask me why Eric Bieniemy's never getting an interview and then tell me it was all about Andy Reid. But anyway, this whole thing is funny. It's no wonder that the Redskins or whatever they're called nowadays, it's no wonder that they're a bad franchise. Trust me. It's more than just their owner. Their owner's the first step, and he's the top dog in it. But they've got a lot of other issues in Washington. And it's probably why Joe Gibbs is rolling around in his grave right now. Is Joe Gibbs even dead? Because if he's not dead, he's still rolling around in his grave right now. Because they're going to drive him to death. And that's just bugging Chuck Reed. There was a proposed trade from the Atlanta Hawks, and we're going to talk about next. And we can open up the phone lines to you at 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be part of the show. Don't you agree with me, Day-Day, that Atlanta United should go on the field and do snow angels?
They
on the turf?
Should go on that field and do everything.
I would do it. I would go out there. I would be that a-hole. So anyway, we'll get to what's bugging Chuck right here in just a couple minutes. Braves and Pirates right now. This game's been really wacky. 6-4, Pirates are up. They've homered four times in the game. Hold on. You mean to tell me that this Yanni Chirinos or whatever his name is, you mean to tell me that that's a better option than Michael Soroka in the starts that he's made? I'm a better option than Yanni Chirinos. He's given up 5 innings, 7 hits, 6 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, 4 homers. Tell me all of the big power hitters for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Day-Day. I'll wait. Who's all of these big power hitters for the Pittsburgh Pirates? I mean, they have a guy who's McCutchen has hit 10 homers. Brian Reynolds has 14. Jack Sawinski has 21. And Carlos Santana has a dozen. They don't have another guy in their lineup that has double-digit home runs. 10, 12, 14, and a guy with 21. What do the Braves have? Like 4 guys who are already over 25 homers and the league leader? And yet we're getting shut down by some guy, Max Kellerman, Mitch Keller, and Ryan Borucki. And this Yanni Chirinos, why are they pitching him? What kind of pictures of goats and Brian Snitker does Yanni Chirinos have? Because that's the only thing it can be, is that he's got pictures of Brian Snitker with various farm animals. It has to be something like that. Because you mean to tell me, if you cut off Michael Soroka's arm and he had a bloody stump and had to lay down on the field and take his bloody stump and push the ball like he's playing pool to get it to home plate, that's still a better option than Yanni Chirinos. Cut his arm off and let him push the ball up the home plate, still a better option than Yanni Chirinos. If he has any feeling in a limb, it's a better option than Yanni Chirinos. Like, why even pitch this guy? Why? What exactly is he? You mean to tell me that Michael Soroka can't find his way into this rotation and that we're trotting out Yanni Chirinos? I don't even know what the guy's name is, but I'll pronounce it phonetically like that. Day-Day, you're a better option right now. It's ridiculous. Again, he's not even giving you a chance to win the game. Because every time the Braves come back, they launch 2 more homers.
Yeah, went back to back.
Yeah. Like every time the Braves battle back, here he goes again, giving up home runs. He stinks. What exactly has he done in his, I think he's made, 2 starts? What exactly has he done? Like I said, what pictures of farm animals does he have on the Braves management? The Tampa Bay Rays didn't even want him, right? He was DFA'd by the Tampa Bay Rays, who have, again, they're one of the best teams in the American League or in baseball. They can use all the help they can get, and they looked at him and said, we're good. We got better options. We're going to take one of our minor league pitchers Where's their minor league club? Is it in Rancho Cucamonga? Maybe it's El Segundo. Maybe it's Jupiter, Florida, is where the Tampa Bay Rays AAA team is. Wherever it is, we're going to take one of our minor leaguers, cut his arm off, let him bleed out, and take his empty, bloody stump and push the ball up the home plate, because that's a better option than Yanni Chirinos. And yet Michael Soroka's lingering down, or what's the word? What's the word I want to say? It's not lounging around, but what's the word? Just kind of lingering down in Gwinnett. Just not able to get back up with the club. How are you going to solve anything down there? At what point does Michael Soroka, do we have to have a discussion about, okay, can Michael Soroka get back to form, or do we just need to release him, DFA him? At what point? It's crazy. But this guy's giving you no shot. And the Braves are bashing the ball around. Arcia's homered, right? Guys are bashing the ball all around. Your 7, 8, 9 hitters, 4 for 8. Four for eight. It's your bottom third. Actually, it's – no. Here's your bottom third right now with the updated box score. 5 for 9. That's your 7, 8, 9 hitter, 5 for 9. You're getting contributions at the bottom of the order. Arcia's homered in the game. Yanni Chirinos, let's give up 3 more home runs. He stinks. They should DFA him. Anyway, all right, let's grab a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I had to laugh. So Ron Rivera, who's the head coach of the Commanders, said that some of his players expressed concern over new offensive coordinators Eric Bieniemy's intensity during practice. And you know what Bieniemy said? I'm not going to change my approach. Quote, I'm always going to be loud, always going to be vocal, always going to demand from my leaders. If I ain't doing my job, my arse gets fired. It's my job, my responsibility to make sure I'm getting our guys to do what I'm expecting to do. Wait a second. Lots of things about this, Day-Day. Wait a second. I thought Ron Rivera, the reason he was such a good coach is because he's fiery. And, you know, he played for the 86 Bears and that crazy bunch of guys. I thought that's what made him a good coach. And, Day-Day, correct me if I'm wrong. Where's Eric Bieniemy been? Has he been with the Browns for the last few years?
No.
Has he been with the Tennessee Titans the last few years?
No.
Has he been with the Carolina Panthers the last few years?
No, you're even.
Where exactly has he been?
I think Midwest, like Kansas City.
Oh, are they good?
Let's see. What, 2 Super Bowls?
Okay. And, you know what Eric Bieniemy should say to the players? Shut the F up and either listen or leave. How quickly could this be solved? Shut the F up. I'm coaching Pat Mahomes. You ain't Pat. In the words of, who was it? Who was the, when they said about Dan, who was the guy that ran for vice president against Dan Quayle, Michael Dukakis' running mate? Who was that guy from Texas? When the guy said, I knew Jack Kennedy, you're no Jack Kennedy, right? Guess what? I know Pat Mahomes, you ain't no Pat Mahomes. You're more like Pat McGroin. But I thought Ron Rivera was this fiery guy and, you know, he played for the 86 Bears, 85 Bears. That's why he's a good head coach. Man, I'm telling you, the NFL is a fascinating sport nowadays. Guys have negotiated all their practices away in lieu of money and everything else. Bieniemy went on to say, I want our guys to clearly understand we don't take anything for granted. Yeah, as in, shut the F up, I coached Pat Mahomes. You twit. I know Pat Mahomes. I've known Pat Mahomes. You ain't no Pat Mahomes, sir. You see me pull players and have discussions with them, and you're always on the same page. Again, maybe this is why he's not a head coach in the NFL. Because players are just
too hard.
Yeah,
he's too hard.
Like, yeah, you can't treat players like guys and hold them accountable. Right? And that's the problem, is he wants accountability and all this, that, and the other. Meanwhile, he's winning Super Bowls. And yes, I know, Andy Reid was a big part of all of that. But again, you guys can't have it both ways. You can't ask me why Eric Bieniemy's never getting an interview and then tell me it was all about Andy Reid. But anyway, this whole thing is funny. It's no wonder that the Redskins, or whatever they're called nowadays, it's no wonder that they're a bad franchise. Trust me, it's more than just their owner. Their owner's the first step, and he's the top dog in it. But they've got a lot of other issues in Washington. And it's probably why Joe Gibbs is rolling around in his grave right now. Is Joe Gibbs even dead? Because if he's not dead, he's still rolling around in his grave right now. Because they're going to drive him to death. That's just bugging Chuck Reed. There was a proposed trade from the Atlanta Hawks that we're going to talk about next. And we can open up the phone lines to you at 404-726-0929. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.